it is a great day today, and I would share with you that I'm preaching from a passage that's fairly familiar. It's part of my life verse. Now, I have two pieces of my life verse, and when I say a life verse, it's a couple of scriptures that everything in my life filters through. The first one is found in 1 Samuel, where the Lord says, "The man who honors me, him will I honor." So I've made a commitment that I would be a man that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ, then let him respond however he would desire. And then the other part of my life verse is in the passage in front of us, and that is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. I'd like for you to open your Bible to the Philippian passage today. And as this has been my life verse, it's also been the way that I have attempted to lead our church under the same grid of Scripture. So the church that honors him, that is the church that God will honor. He has been faithful to that. And then the second part of the verse is kind of the keynote of the message today at this incredible moment. And the title of the message is One Thing. Paul says, "This one thing that I do." How incredible would it be if we could take all of our agendas and say, "This is the one thing that is on my agenda." And so this is the one thing. And so we want to see what that looks like for our church. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. You got it? All right, here we go. Beginning at verse 12. "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And I love verse 15. "Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also." So there's a few bullet points I'd like to pull out of that before we drill into it just a bit. The first bullet point you could take out of that is Paul says, "I've not arrived." He'd done a lot. He'd accomplished a whole lot, and he'd seen God do a lot of incredible things in his life, but he says, "I have not arrived. There's still a lot more to come in my future." And so I would just remind our church that we have not arrived. There's a whole lot more left in our future. And the reason, one reason we haven't arrived is your pastor, God still has to do a lot of work on him. Amen. And so we have not arrived. The second thing, Paul says, "I belong to Jesus Christ," without question. He says, "Jesus Christ has laid hold of me, and I belong to him." And I would just remind you today that Jesus Christ, we belong to him. This church belongs to him. So don't give me the ownership of the church. I don't want it. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And so I would tell you, if you've placed your faith and trust in Christ, I would tell you that he owns you. And if Jesus Christ owns you, then he has the right of ownership to tell you how to live, direct what you do, direct how you do it, because he is the Lord, he is the master, he owns you, he bought you with his own death. And then Paul says, "I'm not content with the past." Not going to forget it just to wipe the slate clean, but he's not going to be satisfied with it. If he did that, then what happened in Philippi may have never happened in Thessalonica. Had he said, "Oh, I'm happy with what's happened here," there was more down the road for him. And so he's not going to be content with his past, and then he's pressing on. He's stretching out. He's straining toward the future, using that past as a great base to step into the irresistible future that God had for him. So there's something better ahead for Paul. There's something better ahead for us. And in Jesus Christ, life is always a great adventure. It really is. And then the last thing, he said there's a prize waiting. Don't forget there's a prize waiting. There is an eternity out there in front of us. Some mention had made of some of these former pastors would think if they saw that. I just have to think that God's giving them a little glimpse. And they're still getting the rewards from their faithfulness as the fruit continues to be born in our generations. And so there is a reward that is out in front of us. Don't lose sight of that. And then the last thing, that last verse, he says, if you don't agree with me, then you're wrong. Now, isn't it great to be able to say something and say, you know what? You can disagree all you want to, but if you do, you're just flat wrong. And that's what he said in verse 15. So if you don't agree with this, then you're just wrong. So I'd like to take a few moments. The reason we started at 10:30 was so I'd have a little extra time before noon. And you just looked at your clock and said, y'all, you're right. So here we go. Well, we'll talk about the past, the present, and the possibilities. Let's talk for a minute about the past. When he says, I forget, this one thing, I forget what's behind me. Again, he's not meaning just to wipe the slate clean, because all of our past experiences become life lessons for us. So we certainly wouldn't want to forget those. This past provides a foundation for our lives and for our future. Gives us confidence for our present and our future, because as God has been faithful in the past, he's going to continue to be faithful right now in whatever you're facing. And whatever's coming in the future, God's going to remain faithful. So he doesn't mean just wipe out the past, because the past is really the fertile ground upon which we build our future. Gives us satisfaction in accomplishments. So he doesn't mean just to wipe the slate clean, but what he does mean is we can't allow the past to stop us from reaching forward into the future. We can't allow the victory that we have coming here to make us miss the reason that we built it. And so we do look back on the past and we thank God for it, but we don't allow what God wants to do in our life to be hindered because we become satisfied with what he did in our past. So we do have a great history. It's amazing. I think about 150 years. Man, that's a lot of deacons' meetings. That's a lot of complaints that the temperature's too cold or hot. It's a lot of baptisms. That's a lot of weddings, a lot of funerals, a lot of praying, a lot of worshiping, a lot of ministry, a lot of impact. Great, great history. I'm thankful to be a part of a movement, which is Christianity, that has an incredible legacy and doesn't have to huff and puff to catch up with the culture. And so we have a great history. I want to point out just one brief moment. 100 years ago, May 1st, 1919, the church met and dedicated this building that you're going to see on the screen behind me, I think. 100 years ago. You know, I told somebody one time, I would have loved to have kind of been in that building and see what it was like. And one of the old timers said, no, you wouldn't. If it rained, they had to come down early and pump the water out of the basement and all kind of stuff. But man, that's a stately building. Back when they were building it, the membership thought it was going to cost too much. Vision Leadership Team, that sound familiar? Couldn't afford it. They went ahead and built it on dedication day. The pastor said, we're about $1,000 short of paying this off, and before the day was over, it was paid for. And I said, God, can we have a little deja vu here? It just takes one check. If you'll sign it, I'll fill it in for you. And so, without a doubt, we have a great history. Now, let me say this. You have a history with God too, don't you? If you know Jesus Christ, if you've given your life to him, then you have seen him do stuff in your life along the way. You have a history with God. And if you be honest, you would find that God's been good to you and that he has been faithful to you and that he has blessed you. Now, I'm not saying you didn't face some hardships. Everybody faces hardships. But the fact that you're sitting here in this worship today means that God got you through those, or he is in process of getting you through those. And so I would just encourage you today, think back on the history that you have with God and allow that to propel you into whatever it is God has in your future. So we have an incredible past. We value that. But then we got the present. We got the present. Today really is a time to celebrate, don't you agree? I mean, just look around and say, man, this God, this is incredible. I will tell you it exceeded my vision and turned out so well. If you're a really good athletic coach, particularly in football, you have what they call a 24-hour rule. Y'all know what the 24-hour rule is? After every ball game, win or lose, you got 24 hours either to cry about it, complain about the referees because you lost, or to celebrate the win. At the end of that 24 hours, you got to get back to work because you know what? You got another ball game coming up next week. So we want to have a little 24-hour rule. I think it's really good for us just to take a deep breath and say, God, you've been good to us. This is a present moment that is enriching, that's fulfilling. It is incredible. And just enjoy the moment. Just enjoy the moment. But as I say that, there's a temptation to kind of put it on cruise. And that's dangerous. And remember the one thing he's pressing on. He's not putting it on cruise. Let me read you from Luke 12, 16 through 21. Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. Nothing wrong with that to this point. Then I'll say to myself, here's the problem. You've got plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. So it's all for himself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? His kids, who'll go through it in 6 months. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. Now, let me ask you a very pointed question. How would it look for you if today your soul was required by God? What would that look like for you? Would you have some really nice barns that you got a lot of stuff in that you've kicked back and said, I've arrived, I'm just going to kick back and enjoy all this for myself? Or could you say, you know what, God's given us some big barns, but we're continuing to press on? How would that look for you? If you don't like the prospects of how that would look for you, then here's the deal. You can make some changes. Did you know that? You can make some changes and kind of get your life's emphasis off of yourself and put it on whatever God's purpose is for your life. And you can lay up some treasures in heaven and be rich toward God. I think the last thing I'd like for God to tell me is, Jim, you fool, you're an idiot. I'd say, well, I know that, Lord, but we seek to be rich toward God. The present can be a danger. And so, today is a day to rejoice, to celebrate, enjoy God's blessings, but it's also a time to lay the hammer down. Because we built this, yeah, to enjoy it, but we built it so that we have a better tool to give to Jesus Christ to share the good news with as many people as we can. So we're not going to just sit around. We're just going to sit around and say, oh, that's nice. We're so blessed. We're so wonderful. Look at what we've done. And that's not what we're going to do. I'm not going to let you do that. In fact, I'm thinking about making those chairs up there eject. I hear another ejection. Construction people were throwing old people out of the chairs. Did y'all know that? Yeah. Those front row men kicks people out. You knew that, didn't you, Nick? Yeah, Nick knows it. Nick thinks it's funny. So I'm going to make all those chairs do that. If I see you sleeping, I'm going to hit the button. And I can see you up there. Don't think I can't. But so the point is, we cannot let what God has blessed us with become the rocking chair that we think, man, we're done. No, if anything else, it's time for us to go deeper and harder than we ever have before. Our culture's falling apart. And if it does fall apart, I don't want to be sitting back looking at the big barns. I want to be in the thick of the battle, extending the message as far as we can. And then let's talk about the possibilities. We got the past, which is awesome. The present is a beautiful moment, but we're going to understand the warning. And then let's talk about the possibilities. I preached at our soft opening on a Thursday night, message entitled, "What Kind of Church Is This?" So I kind of want to revisit that for just a few moments tonight. But what are the possibilities? The possibilities are going to be kind of like what the past is. In broad strokes, as we look to the future, we're going to continue to be a church that's based on the Scripture. Our message, our motives, our methods will honor the Word of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ. What comes from the pulpit will be biblical. What's coming in the small Bible groups, we're going to encourage to be biblical. The way that we live, we want to honor the teachings of Scripture as a disciple of Jesus Christ. The convictions that we have, we want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. The morality that we live and teach, we want to be strictly biblical in all of our approach. We want to be a church that still believes that the Bible is the Word of God. And how I wish that every group that puts church out there on their sign still believe the Bible, but that's sadly not the truth. We're going to be a church that will be bathed in prayer. Jesus said, "I want my house to be called a house of prayer for all the nations." This will be a sacred place. It will be a place where we meet God together. Can there be any more of a sacred place than that? It will be a place where people are going to weep because they're overwhelmed with life and sadness and joy. It'll be a place where we dedicate those babies and families to God. Isn't that a great sacred spot? It'll be a place where we'll say goodbye to the saints who go on to be with the Lord. Maybe in this room, maybe in another one, but in our facilities. It's a sacred place. Made sacred because it's a place where we meet God. I can remember when I was a little kid, our house was on the same block as the church where we attended, First Baptist Church in Fairfield. And there was a really great playground right beside the church building. And me and my buds played there, man, every day, man. If we weren't in school, we were playing in the churchyard, we called it. Played ball, broke windows in the church, had all kind of fun. Well, in the church, there's this oasis water fountain. Had the best cold water that you could ever imagine. And it was right beside two doors that opened into the sanctuary. And there were no windows in there. And, man, it was dark in that sanctuary during the day. And so we'd get our drink. We'd be careful that we wouldn't step into that sanctuary. Because, man, God's in there, man. There was this sense of reverence by the presence of God because it was a sacred place. So God doesn't live in the building, but this place will be bathed in prayer because it is a sacred place where we meet God. It will be a place, a church, that will be blessed through praise. God inhabits the praises of His people, so He's talking about His presence. Songs of all kinds. We've had all kinds of songs today. I hope you enjoyed and were blessed. But more than that, I hope that the Lord was honored with it. Amen. Gifts of all kinds, financial and otherwise. Service and ministry of all kinds, blessed through praise. Now, I wasn't intending to do this, but I got you together, so I might as well. While I got you. My wife got, for Christmas, 2 tickets to go to a Gaither homecoming. Now, I will tell you, I wasn't too thrilled about it. We went to it Friday night. Now, I want y'all to listen to me very carefully here. Jeanette and I felt like teenagers. So in that case, I felt good. It went from 7 to 11. That's 4 hours. The music was so loud when you're standing up, I thought my phone was vibrating. And it was the bass doing this. There were crutches, there were wheelchairs, there were scooters, we had the old people of the Metroplex in that room. It was loud, it was rocking. And I thought, dude, don't these people go to church? It's 10:30 at night. You mean they can't? They can see. They can see the drive. I told you I wasn't planning on doing that. But I'm telling you, man, they sense the presence of God. And when the presence of God is there, you'll overcome all obstacles. And so that's the presence of God. Our church is going to continue to be broad in grace. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Don't you thank God for His grace? Mercy is Him holding back what we do deserve. And we're going to preach grace and mercy because no one is beyond the need of grace. Think about Nicodemus, that religious man. No one is beyond the reach of grace. Think about the woman at the well caught in adultery. So all of us need it. We're not beyond the reach of it. And we want to extend the grace of Jesus Christ to everybody that needs it. And so I would just tell you, maybe that's exactly what you need today. You came in here for a big day, but what you're really needing is to receive the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. You know what? You can find it. I can't deliver it to you, but I can point you to somebody who can. His name is Jesus Christ. So we're going to be churches big and broad in grace. And then I would tell you last, we're going to be a church built on Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. We'll follow Him. He's the cornerstone. We're just bricks in the building. And we want to honor and we want to please Him. And so, as I said just a moment ago, when we get done here today, we'll all be heading out. And I hope that everybody here would say, man, that was a blessed service. I really did like that. And that would be what I'd hope. But listen, what I really hope is that Jesus Christ says, man, I really like that. That really was a blessing to me. To hear those people worship and to hear that message and to see how people responded. And so that's our future, the possibilities. And I would tell you, if we do that, we're going to be honoring Jesus Christ. And He said, if you honor me, then I will honor you. And in doing so, the one thing we do is that we continue to press on toward the future. So here's the deal. Bottom line. Man, I love the building. I tell you what I really like. I like those lights going up those steps. Those are cool, man. I like the screens. I like the stage. I like the way the colors coordinate. I like that mall out there, don't you? I like the coffee stuff, although I'm not too sure that I like the guy that's putting it together. It's Kurt. Always room for improvement. But I want to tell you, we can have all that and still not have the presence of God. In fact, we can have none of that and have the presence of God. And I want to tell you the premium. We want God to be present among us. That's why we dedicate it. That's why we do everything that we do. I believe he's here with us. I did my best to bring him with me. Did you bring him with you? And so the one thing we do is we press on. Being blessed by the past, encouraged by the present, but always pressing forward into the future. We're about to have the final time of praise this morning, and not only is it a time to praise God, but it's a time to extend an invitation to you. If you're visiting with us today, we're really grateful that you're here. Thank you that you've joined us on this day. If you feel like that God would have you to be a part of a church like this, maybe this church, we would extend you an invitation to become a part of us today. While we're singing, we'll have some staff who are here at the front. And if you just kind of make your way to one of our staff people and just tell them, I think that God wants me, wants our family to be a part of this church. Man, we'd love to have you jump on board with us and build toward the future. It would be great. It may be today that you're kind of stuck where you are. Past is maybe crumbling on you. Your present's really hard. You need to be refreshed. You need a new start. You need to make a recommitment of your life to Jesus Christ. This would be an incredible day to do that. If you would like somebody to pray with you about that, to stand with you as you do that, feel free to come and get prayer today as well. But let me say this, if you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then that's why we're here today. That's why we've built this. That's why we're worshiping, so that you can have an invitation today to say yes to Jesus Christ. And if that's where you are and God's speaking to you today, I would encourage you just to come very quietly down to one of our counselors and just say, I would like to come to know Jesus Christ today. And man, that will make it all worthwhile. And so, Lord, thank you for the past. We are rejoicing here in this present moment with a regard to the future that we're going to press on for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as we begin to worship. If you would like to make a decision to join our church, to give your life to Christ, or just come for prayer, then I invite you just to right now begin making your way here to speak to one of our counselors. Let's worship. I give you the invitation. Won't you come right now?